This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Hey, this is Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me. Do you know what day it is? Yes, it is Flashback Friday, where you hear the best of the Creating Wealth show, and you hear some good prior episodes, some good review. Remember, we've got almost 500 episodes out, and you know what? iTunes doesn't even hold them all if you're an iTunes listener. If you are listening on Stitcher, thank you for joining us. So we want to bring you some good review stuff. Now, what's interesting about Flashback Friday, it's a little scary for me. I gotta be very, very candid with you on that, because you, the listener, you get the chance to hold my feet to the fire. Did I make any predictions? Was I right? Was I wrong? I've been right about a lot of things, but I've been wrong about a few. But it's Flashback Friday, and we will give you the uncensored best of the Creating Wealth show with a prior episode. So let's dive in. Here we go. Remember, this is not current. It's Flashback Friday.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Good afternoon. This is Jason Hartman, your real estate investing expert, broadcasting from Platinum Properties Investor Network in the OC, Orange County, California. And today, I want to share a live clip from one of my recent seminars with you on the subject of the Hartman Risk Evaluator. Folks, it took me 19 years to discover this. It is totally new thinking in real estate investing, as I have never heard anyone else talk about it. I have never read about it, and I've read lots of books on real estate investing, been to lots of seminars, and spoken with lots of people. So I think you'll really find this refreshing. It is new thinking. It is cutting edge and innovative. And I sort of stumbled on it by accident. What this is the Hartman Risk Evaluator, which is something that allows you to basically limit any downside risk in a real estate investment to make sure, of course, we follow all of the other rules we teach here in terms of making sure the properties make sense the day you buy them, making sure the metrics work. Don't buy anything on a speculative basis, no gambling, follow the Ten Commandments of Successful Real Estate Investing that is in a prior podcast. I believe that might be number 15 or 16. And by the way, while I'm thinking of that, I want to mention to you, many people are listening to our podcast now, but they are listening to only the more recent podcast. And I tell you, we have some terrific content available on the podcast in the past. So please go back and listen to the last few, at least, starting with number 14 or number 13, and go forward. You know, go all the way back if you have the time. Anyway, today, the Hartman Risk Evaluator. Let's talk about limiting any downside risk and maximizing upside potential of our real estate investments. This very cool thing, which is based on what we call the LTI ratio, and that is the land to improvement ratio. This is a hard one to demonstrate without the visual aids used at the seminar. So if you have questions, contact any of our investment counselors here at our office. The number is 949-640-0505. Again, that's 949-640-0505, and any of our investment counselors would be glad to explain it in further detail. If you want to come in and meet with them, provide visual aids to help convey the ideas in this podcast or any of our podcasts, because we realize that the podcast is audio format and does not give you all of the visuals, which are quite extensive in our seminars. Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday. Anyway, listen in, enjoy, and for further information also, be sure to visit jasonhartman.com, our website, where we've got lots of interesting articles, videos, PowerPoints, just a load of information, and other audio content. So that's jasonhartman.com at your convenience, and enjoy this small vignette from one of our recent live seminars. Let's listen in. So this is the risk evaluation model. There are several things here. Remember, we talked earlier about bifurcating your investment into two components, improvement value and land value. This is something that took me 19 years to discover. And what happened is this. My insurance broker, Jennifer, called me. I was buying this house in Georgia. It was my second out-of-state property. Remember, before 2.5 years ago, I never purchased a property outside of Orange County. I owned several here, made lots of money on them, but never before 2.5 years ago outside of Orange County. I was buying the second one in Georgia. Insurance broker Jennifer calls me up and she says, Jason, we're going to give you $135,000 of insurance on your Georgia property. And I thought, wow, as an insurance company, you only insure the improvement, not the land, because the land can't be destroyed, right? The land can't burn down. The house could flood, it could burn down, it could be vandalized, whatever. The house is what they insure. They don't insure the land. $135,000 insurance on the house, I realized, wow, I only paid $159,000 for the whole thing, including the land. So the land value was only $24,000. And that really made me aware of something that for the prior 19 years in the real estate business, I never understood. I understood then that this was a way to minimize any downside risk, almost eliminate downside risk in my investments. Here are the things that go on here. The improvement value is determined by the cost to build it and the builder's profit. Those two components go into the cost of the house sitting on the land. That's the improvement value. Now, what affects the improvement value? Well, environmentalism and building restrictions affect it. Why? Because when the environmental movement gains more steam and it becomes more restrictive to build out existing plots of land, improved land that already has a structure and the associated entitlements to build that structure on it becomes more and more valuable. And the old riddle for this is, what do you call a developer? Someone who wants to build a house in the woods or at the beach. What do you call an environmentalist? Someone who already has a house in the woods or at the beach. Isn't that convenient hypocrisy there? As this environmentalism continues to grow in strength and power, improved real estate becomes more and more valuable, kind of to what you were talking about. Industrialization of China and India. This is huge. This has never, ever before happened in human history. You might want to look this article up on the internet. Richard, who's sitting in back, who is my favorite pessimist, emailed me this article thinking it would be negative, probably, a while back. But I really drew something really positive out of it. It's a Business Week article. I'm sure you can find it on the net. I don't have a copy for you. But it's called A Boom or Bust, and the date is April 27th of 2006. And they interview Jeremy Siegel and Michael Milken. Remember Michael Milken, the junk bond king, a.k.a. crook, okay, the guy that spent some time in jail? Well, he's definitely a brilliant guy, criminal or not. And here's what he said. He said this. He said, now look at wealth. Most accumulation of wealth has been in the last 200 years. Technology has driven it. Many people predicted a more serious problem would be who would buy the assets of tomorrow. In the 70s, they predicted mass starvation. That didn't happen. Now we see people that have moved out of farms into cities because agriculture has become so efficient. Each farmer today feeds 350 others. The idea we can't produce enough food to feed humanity is no longer in vogue, okay? We constantly underestimate life expectancy. In Japan today, the quality of life lasts longer than anywhere else in the world. They have 73.6 healthy years before becoming disabled by old age. So people are working longer. He talks about two major trends going on in the world today, and I'm skipping back, actually. One is that there is a growing middle-class population outside the U.S., which is where most of the world's population lives. And two, there is a chronologically aging population in the developed world. So, what is he saying here? I'll just kind of sum it up for you, and then I'll quote a little bit more later. Milken says that basically there are two huge generators of wealth around the planet now. One is that people are living and working longer and being healthier longer, so they are creating more value in world economies. All agree with that? Number two, technology. Technology is creating more and more prosperity around the world. Now, the next one is globalization. And this is me talking. You've got 2.5 billion people in China and India that are approaching, no matter how fast or slow they are, a middle-class lifestyle. Think about what happened over the last 100 years. And this is just me talking. This is not the article. Over the last 100 years, if you take the free developed economies of the world, you take Western Europe, you take the U.S., you take a few others scattered around the world, you had what? Maybe 400 million people, 500 million people that were really the major contributors to the economy. And those people in those economies caused the price of every commodity on earth to get to where it is today, basically, whether it be oil, copper, glass, steel, concrete, lumber, whatever it is. Those are all commodities. Gold, several years ago, Chinese people weren't allowed to own gold. Now they are. What happened to the price of gold? Went up. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I think it's a contributing factor. Now, instead of having 400 or 500 million people, we've got 2.5 billion potential consumers of resources and commodities. My mother went to China just about a year ago. And she said, I couldn't believe it, Jason. You know, you fly into these Chinese cities, it's like flying into 10 New York cities. It's unbelievable. They just go on forever. There's just skyscrapers as far as you can see. And then you get on the ground and you look up and you see there are cranes everywhere and more building going on. In fact, the national bird of China should be the crane. So then you look around the streets, and 10 years ago, everybody in China was driving what? A bicycle. Now they're all driving a car. A lot more traffic, a lot more consumption of materials that build cars, and what else? Oil, of course. What's happened to the price of oil? You've got more demand. The basic theory of economics, of course, is supply and demand. So now you've got all of these consumers that are constantly increasing the demand on existing supplies. Look at what happened. Raw material costs. The government tells us that in 2004, inflation was 3.3%. How do they tell us that? The Consumer Price Index, the CPI. But look at what happened to steel and iron prices. They went up 34% in the same year. 11 times almost the rate of inflation. Lumber went up 17%. Wallboard, this stuff, went up 20%. Think about what is happening. How many of you know someone who builds houses or offices or is a contractor? Anybody? You do it yourself? What's happened to the cost of construction materials? They've gone through the roof. I did my landscaping on my current house a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and I couldn't believe the bids. I'd done landscaping jobs numerous times on other houses I've owned. And I couldn't believe how the prices were so high. I said to every contractor I got a bid from, I said, why is it so expensive? He said, China. Huh? Well, they've driven the cost of concrete through the roof. So think about what happens when you buy a house today. Houses are made of simple, low-tech bricks and sticks, glass, copper wire, petroleum products, steel maybe, certainly lumber, wallboard, all of the concrete. All of these materials are getting more and more and more expensive because you have 2.5 billion additional people starting to drive up the prices of them. A very good thing for us. Because think about what really happens. When we buy a house today, what do we do to our construction costs? We lock it in, don't we? We lock it in for how long? Well, it depends how long you think the house will last. I say 5 decades. I say a good 50 years is how long a house lasts. IRS says 28 years, whatever. Depends on the tenant, you know, I don't know. But the point is we lock in our cost, and everybody that comes after us has to pay a higher cost for these materials because of the massive consumption of them.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday.
A lot of petroleum products go into a house. Copper goes into a house. Copper's got to be mined. Petroleum products have to be, they have to come out of the ground. So that goes up. What's happening to the cost of labor? Is labor cheaper today or cheaper 10 years ago? Labor's going up. Certainly, if you build anything or know anybody who does, they will complain about the cost of workers' compensation insurance, right? Really expensive for those people. Energy costs are going up. Every time the cost of energy goes up, really, the price of your assembled house goes up that you own. I don't like to invest in commodities. You know, I don't buy commodities on the exchanges and things like that. But you know what? I do like packaged or assembled commodities, where they bring it to the land I own and build the house on it. All of these commodities, these materials, I'm basically a commodities investor in a way. And the better thing about my type of commodities investing is I get the bank and the tenant to pay for it for me, mostly. When the cost of energy goes up, the cost of your house goes up. I was complaining to my mother, who's quite a stock market freak, when the price of gas started to escalate so dramatically. I was complaining to her, and she says, Jason, quit complaining, just buy some oil company stocks. I made a fortune on Valero. That's the thing. Hedge your bet. When the cost of other things go up, just make sure you're investing in that commodity so that you're making money off of it too. So two components, improvement value, land value. Let's look at what this means in real life to us. Here's a copy of my tax bill. Now look, I'm a single guy. I could afford a better house, but I don't want a better house because it's going down in value. Frankly, I'd like to rent a better house if I had time to think about moving. Here's my tax bill. When I bought my house just over 3 years ago, I paid $815,000 for it. Okay? Why do I show you my tax bill? Because our tax collector divides the improvement or structural cost, the house, from the land cost. And here's what the tax collector said. They said that the land was worth $660,000. And the improvement or the building sitting on the land was worth $156,000. What's this going to mean to us as an investor? Well, a lot, I think. Here's how it looked when I bought my house. 81% land value, 19% improvement value, total of $815. A year went by. I got concerned because I noticed a lot of sold signs in my neighborhood. So being in the business, I kept tabs on the values, and I noticed that the value of my house seemed to be increasing dramatically. And I got very concerned about this. Now, why would I be concerned that the value went up? Well, because I know that if the value went up, I've got what? Equity, and I don't like equity. The reason I don't like equity is because it's not FDIC insured, the best insurance is a high loan balance, and I know it's earning exactly 0% rate of return. Nothing. I want to put my equity to work. I call up the bank, they send out this appraiser guy. Appraiser guy says, Mr. Hartman, congratulations, your house is now worth $1.3 million. Wow. Do I love real estate? Only a year goes by, and I make $485,000. Nothing beats real estate. Did I know that would happen? No way. Had no idea. I got lucky. When you're investing in bubble markets, you get lucky sometimes. But I can't hang my hat on that. That can't be my strategy, to be lucky. So I want to take that money out, put it to work in investments that you don't have to be lucky in, that just make sense. This investment doesn't make sense. Question I have for you is this. When it went up $485,000 in a year, what went up? Land or improvement? Improvement? Who votes improvement? Structure. Okay, who votes land? We got more land voters. You're right. Both went up. Look, it's more expensive to build my house today than it was 3 years ago. No question about it. My house today, instead of costing $156,000 to build, probably cost $200,000 to build. Most of the increase was in the land. Now, most people agree that the market in Southern California is going down. We know what went up the most, but when it goes down in value, where does the decline come from? Does it come out of land or improvement? I say that when it goes down in value, the risk area is the land. See, the land is where is the only place the decline can come from, in my opinion, because the improvement keeps getting more expensive to build. Look, at the great thing about houses is they're low tech. Why is that great? Because, you know, this laptop, the next one I buy is better and cheaper and faster. There's always new disruptive technology in the tech world. But in something low-tech like a house where it's just made of simple sticks and bricks, there can't be any big innovation. I mean, at least not that I can see, unless we're going to start living in, you know, like a force field. You know, I just come home and turn on my house and it, you know, is a force field. Maybe that could happen someday, but I don't see that anytime soon, right? So if we know that the risk area is in the land, now I'll tell you something interesting about this. I called the appraiser again 1 year later, and it was the same guy from the same lender. And you know what? He came to my seminar, and he sat right where you're sitting now, Vijay, just about 2 months ago. He was sitting in that seat, and I'm telling this story. He came over again, and he said, I hate to tell you this, a year later, your house has now declined in value. It's only worth $1,215,000. It went down $85,000. I'm still up $400,000, still pretty good, but I hated to give back the $85,000. But where did it come from? It came from the land. So what do we do with this knowledge? Well, if we know that the risk area is in markets with high land value, all we have to do as smart investors is stay away from this kind of market. This is all, by the way, the bubble markets around the country now. Did you notice that? This is Miami, California, it's Vegas. It's all of these overvalued bubble markets. This is Hawaii, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon. It all looks like this. We want to stay away from this and go to areas that look like this, where the ratio is largely improvement. See my Georgia house? 135,000 improvement, 24,000 land. If the land value gets cut in half on the Georgia house, how much am I going to lose? Oh, $12,000. I can live with that. What if I lose half in California? $500,000. That's going to hurt. A simple way to minimize downside risk. Took me 19 years to figure this out. And if it wasn't for that call from my insurance broker, I would have probably never seen this. I just suddenly discovered it that day. New thinking, huh? Bet you never heard that before. Okay, give me a hand. Just kidding. So here's what Milken says at the end of this article that's really interesting. He says, with all this wealth, the problem is not going to be who's going to buy assets. The problem is, are there enough assets for people to buy with all this liquidity around the world? Take housing, for example. We don't have efficient mortgage markets around the world, but we've had a $20 trillion increase in housing assets between 1997 and 2004. If developing countries can fully borrow, what are they going to buy? Where are the assets for them to buy? That's Michael Milken's words. He's a bright guy, criminal or not. The Milken Institute does a global capital access index every year, which shows China and India still very low on the rankings. Imagine what will happen when these 2.5 billion people get access to capital. Their economies are already growing at a rate of 8 to 10% without efficient mortgage markets. Imagine when they can borrow. I mean, folks, the type of prosperity that will be created over the next couple of decades, I think, is going to astound all of us. I think 6% appreciation in real estate assets with the commodities issue is like nothing. And that's been 6.4 is the average for the last 38 years in the United States. The real issue, Milken says, is rate of return. If that increases, it solves the problem. In other words, attracting investors to invest and loan money in these economies. The issue will be, quote, where can I invest, not who is the buyer, unquote. The trend has already begun. Already we're seeing ads saying help wanted. We need older workers. The only offense nowadays is calling someone age 60 older instead of midlife. Think about that. The rest of the world is growing so quickly, they'll be looking for anything they can to buy. I couldn't believe it, folks. The global economy and how incredibly pervasive it is. I'm sitting in a realty executive's office. I'm looking at that market about a year and a half ago. I'm sitting with a realtor there, very experienced, very intelligent guy. He's with Realty Executives in Knoxville, Tennessee. He said that a lady from St. Petersburg, Russia, came to Knoxville, not exactly a first-tier city. It's not New York or L.A. or Chicago or even Dallas, which is kind of a first-tier city, and bought 37 houses from him. Yeah, the money is just sloshing around the world. But there is so much capital out there looking for a place to sit, looking for a place to go. This is going to drive up the value of your assets in the years to come. And I think it'll be a lot more significant than we've seen in the past, especially when you add inflation and all those other things into it. Okay, I hope you found that helpful, useful, and interesting. Again, new thinking as far as real estate investing. So I hope that was enjoyable to you. Again, if you have any other questions, contact our office. Any of our investment counselors would be happy to explain these concepts in further detail and also explain the actual practice of the concepts to you. This is the copyrighted creative work of the Platinum Properties Investor Network. All rights are reserved, so call if you have any other questions on them. And join us for our next podcast, which we think you'll find very interesting as well. We'll see you next time. Visit jasonhartman.com or call us with any questions, 949-640-0505. And until next time, happy investing. I'm here with area manager and investment counselor Linda Mully, and she just returned from Kansas City and also Grand Junction, Colorado. And Linda, tell us about what you saw in Kansas City.
Kansas City is a great market, Jason. It's very stable and solid. It's a market where there's good growth and lots of things going on, and there's some great projects there that I took a look at that I think the investors would love to hear about.
Now, one of the things we always do is you got to go buy your own house there.
Yes.
If you want to recommend the area to clients. And of course, you know, I'm already an owner in Kansas City. I bought a fourplex there. But tell us what you're recommending today in Kansas City.
What we have is a great single-family home, three-bedroom, two-bath, about 1,450 square feet for $189.9.
Brand spanking new, right?
Brand new, rent ready, close to schools, and a beautiful shopping center, big upscale shopping center called Zona Rosa, which I had lunch at and just fell in love with.
Excellent. What's the projected return on investment?
Projected investment return here is 34% based on our usual assumptions that we put on our performance projections and the loan that you could get.
Excellent. Boy, 34% annually. Don't try that in a mutual fund or the stock market. You probably won't get it. But you can do it pretty conservatively and prudently with the right real estate investments, with the right structure. Linda, thanks so much for talking about the property in Kansas City.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Hey, I just wanted to announce a couple of quick things for you. If you are interested in a Platinum Properties Investor Network franchise in your area, we are now approved for franchising in 18 states. Please visit jasonhartman.com and click on the franchise link and fill out the short application. If you are able to come to one of our live events, we would love to see you and meet you in person. We've had people fly in from all over the U.S. for them. Tuesday, January 8th, we have real estate investing using your IRA or other pension plan, other qualified plan. That will be at our office here in Newport Beach, soon to be our old office. Remember, we're moving soon. And that is from 6 to 9 p.m. on January 8th. Register at jasonhartman.com for any of these events. Creating Wealth, our core program, our main educational event, is Saturday, January 12th from 10 to 4 at our office in Newport Beach. We have a mini Creating Wealth on January 15th at a location to be announced in the San Diego area. So visit jasonhartman.com for details on that one. And then we have another mini Creating Wealth Wednesday, January 23rd, here at our office in Newport Beach. That's a weeknight event. We have a conference call about declaring financial independence Tuesday, January 29th, and that's on the telephone, so you can join in from anywhere, details at jasonhartman.com. our one in a year so far, Masters Weekend event. This is a very special event where we fly in experts from all over the United States. We call this the Masters Weekend, a gathering of experts, and this is planned for March 8th and 9th at our new offices in Costa Mesa near South Coast Plaza in California. So hopefully you can join us for some of those events. Also, if you are interested in career opportunities with us, our company is growing quickly, and we would love to talk with you about career opportunities. Also, remember, our rental coordinator is here to help with your rental properties. If you need assistance with your rentals, your property managers, your advertising, remember, we're here to help, and we stay with you through the life of the investment. So feel free to call our office anytime and ask for the rental coordinator for assistance on your rentals. Also want to remind you, listen to our old podcast. At least go back to podcast number 13 forward and listen to all the podcasts after that. You're welcome to listen to all of them. The ones before number 13 are older, but they're also good. But the newer ones are number 13 and forward, which are really good ones to listen to. So please take advantage of that. Be sure to see appropriate disclaimers and disclosures on our website at jasonhartman.com. Remember that we are not tax or legal advisors. So give us a call on any of these issues, and remember, we are here to help, and we will look forward to talking to you on the next podcast.
Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Opinions of guests are their own. Jason Hartman is acting as president of Platinum Properties Investor Network exclusively. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.